You're listening to The Threshing Floor.
Welcome once again to The Threshing Floor. I'm Randy Moggins. Kind of an impromptu show. Not what I intended to do this week. I think sometimes it's better to just not prepare what you're going to say. I think sometimes we just need to be transparent. Maybe I need to be a little bit more transparent, just open up my heart. I witness before my eyes what I now call a great insurrection, a rebellion in the spirit. I've watched as people who profess Jesus Christ bloody and pulverize each other with some of the most brutal legalism that I've ever seen. Not even inside the churches have I seen the level of hatred towards one's brother, of hatred towards the world, and a complete disregard for everything that the Lord came to teach us. It is kind of an internet thing, I guess, but it's not. It is this cluster within groups by people who need to feel self-affirmed by believing things in common. This would be a good thing if what they held as truth was sustainable. I have spent months trying to define myself along the lines that did not include using a Bible and a man-made doctrine as a common ground for the people I connect with. I look at the scriptures and I look at the words of Jesus and I see that he says in his word that God was love. The Father came for love, and that he himself did not come to judge the world, that the world was already condemned. So why did he come? He came to pull them out of the condemnation. And I watch as believers go through what I call the loop cycle of condemnation. Condemning others, condemning themselves, going back through the loop endlessly because they don't have an escape plan. They rooted themselves into doctrines. They said they came out of churches, and then they dragged behind them a gigantic duffel bag full of everything that the church was all about. Bondage and legalism and condemnation and self-righteousness and self-importance and pride. This is the world of internet Christianity now. It's all that's out there. If you find a tiny island somewhere of people who can affirm you as a human being under a common belief in one thing, just one thing, that this person, the one that we call Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, the Son of God, came to save mankind, to save them, as my friend says, from what? We are not good enough in ourselves to be saviors. We are not smart enough within ourselves to define some plan. We are not holy enough to stand before somebody else and condemn them. And yet this is what people do day in and day out. You want to know why God burned the temple? You want to know why repeatedly the scriptures were lost? You say God is able to preserve his word, and I say yes, but maybe he didn't do it in the way that you think he did. What if God hid his words in places where you couldn't find them until you were willing to walk through darkness? Jesus walked through darkness. The apostles walked through a dark world. They were savaged and pillaged and stoned and burned as an acceptable price to bring forth the gospel. And the gospel then was very simple. This person whom we preach this day, this Yeshua, was the Savior of the world. He was the messenger of the Savior of the world, because God saves. Yah saves. And Jesus was not pretentious enough to present himself as a Savior, but as an atonement, as a sacrifice. He laid his life down. No man took it from him. He laid it down. Willingly. But we don't do that anymore. We don't lay ourselves down. We don't lay down our opinions and our education and all of the fine things that we see about ourselves. Our self-righteousness is now the baseline by which we define other people. Love has no meaning. This is the generation where love has no meaning. This is the generation that was prophesied of in the scriptures. Men becoming lovers of themselves. And you, the Christian, you point at the world, and yet you are a lover of self. You are a lover of your own doctrines. You are a lover of books, of Bibles, a defender of words and creeds and mottos in a history you do not understand. And you will place yourself up on the highest places in the temple, declaring the word of God. And there's no evidence that you have within you the testimony of the one thing we were called to do. Christians with placards in public places, John 3:16, and they don't believe it. That whoever should believe would be saved. And you judge. From your externals you judge the inner walk, even those whom you don't know. Because they're not Christian enough. Because they don't read the right books. Because they believe things that you can't find in your Bible. Because your eyes are blinded, just like the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees 2,000 years ago. You live in your self-righteousness and your self-defining doctrines. And you sit in chat rooms and forums, and you do radio shows, preaching to the highest, placing yourself before men as a standard. You are no standard at all. And I have to repent, because I've been there and I've done that. I was the poster child for it. I was the sword-wielding warrior of the Bible. And God broke me of that, because he showed me some things. And he reminded me of where I came from. And he reminded me of where my best ministry was, which was always walking on the dark side of the road. God's enemies are not outside of his house, they're in it. These are the wounds that I suffered, the house of my friends, it says in the book of Zechariah. It wasn't the unbelievers or the Roman government that put the Christ to death, it was the people inside his own camp whom he himself said he came to save. I was sent not but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Notice that, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Some people like to shorten that. They like to say, well, he was sent to the house of Israel. No, he was sent to the lost sheep. And later on, he describes there is another flock. And he paints the picture of leaving the 99 to go after the one. Leaving the crowd to go after that one single person. Wandering in darkness. And Christianity is the group growth. It's the mind cluster. It's the hive. We all have to agree and pat each other on the back and feel real good about ourselves. And entire internet groups grew up around this, basing it upon something they're against rather than something that they're for. And the spirit that comes out of them is so evident. I don't suffer fools easily. And sometimes I actually hunt them down. I had a distinct disprivilege of viewing for a while inside of an internet group who had broken off from this ministry and gone off to form their own, even though they had no calling, no anointing, even though they were headed by a Jezebelic woman and an Ahabic man, a weak, castrated male, and a vengeful, vindictive, spiteful woman. And I see the pattern over and over again. Not because, by the way, I dislike women. Oh no, quite the contrary. Would that we had more women. And for that, I'm going to refer you to a show that will be released probably within the next 7 to 10 days. Because I brought Dr. Joseph Lumpkin back on to talk about the sacred feminine. So a few more of you can now leave because you think God's all male. You think there's no balance, and you're right, there is no balance. You have a homosexual religion. Have at it. Enjoy yourself. You have the God of forces, the God of war. But I think you'll see what comes out in that interview is a heart that you've not seen from many ministries. And history and some facts that nobody wants to bring out because it's very inconvenient to the prevailing viewpoint, including the viewpoint of the so-called remnant out there. There's a tiny little group left of this ministry, and I'm good with that. I'm fine with that because it means we purged again. It means a whole bunch of people went out. Our numbers dropped from thousands to hundreds. Our support dropped considerably, and yet there are people who have been faithful, and you know what? It's enough. Because it doesn't matter what the numbers are. If God blesses it, it's sufficient. And people have left, and people have separated. And I've watched people that said they were my friends, people I've reached out to, people I've loved, turn around and knife me in the back. Setting themselves up as authority figures over things they don't even understand. And it is an endless cycle of betrayals. And it is the reason why I will always stand by the studies that I did with Sue Patterson on the Third Day shows. Because the baseline for those shows basically says this. Christians are murderers. They have murderous hearts. They have false doctrines, and they will turn on you like rattlesnakes in a dark hole. The great masses of people who call themselves Christians today, and probably even for the last several thousand years, bought into a system of conformity. They bought into a system of conformity that was designed for them as a trap. It was designed to unite the spirit of the world with the spirit of religion. The two systems that the Christ himself decried were merged. And yet people look for the great harlot, they look for the great whore, as some future event. They don't realize that they're living in it. You're living in a whorehouse now. God will burn it. Those of you who think you left the church and that now everything's okay don't realize that which lives inside of you is that which is manifest. And it doesn't take long for the spirit to bubble up, does it? Over the last 6 months, I've seen people expose themselves for what they really are. Lovers of self. Because at the end of the day, if you don't line up with their doctrinal view, if I don't agree to their version of history, if I come to you and I say, look, there are books outside the Bible, and it looks to me like they're probably okay, I'm considered a heretic. I get emails from people telling me that I'm going to hell. I'm called a New Ager because I inquire into the things of the Spirit, the things that are not evident in your Bibles. If I talk about the third eye, which is really what we call the mind's eye, which is really the inner temple, if I talk about the pituitary gland and the activation of DNA, if I talk about UFOs and the demonic ETs that are out there and the things that sit on the borders of our reality that are closed off by our churches and ignored by most, if even the remnant of Christianity, I'm called an occultist or a New Ager or somebody who's walking in the dark. Oh, I've walked in the dark, believe me. There's a reason why I do shows on UFOs and ETs. It's a very dark and very personal experience. But if you judge me by that, then you have judged me as unworthy and you have placed yourself in the high places of the temple. And yet, it is only God who judges. It is only God who knows the heart. It is through His Son, the Messiah, that we come to a place where we can walk through the darkness and come to the other side, which is the light, which is within us. And you say that's New Age. 90 to 99% of Christians are externalized, religious, followers of dogma, promulgators of division and strife, and anguish, and there are tortured souls all over the world who have suffered at the hands of these bastards of religion. And I have sat and I have watched. I watched it when I was in the churches. I've seen it since I've been doing this ministry for over 7 years. I see it in my day-to-day life. I see the pain on people's faces. I feel it myself. The trauma. Because you don't know who you are and you don't know where you're going. And you want assurance. And the only assurance that you can find is this somehow comforting idea that you won't burn in an eternal hell that's been contrived out of this Bible. What if you have to be saved from yourself? What if the real salvation comes when you finally break through? As a very dark figure, Jim Morrison said one time, break on through to the other side. The other side of what? The other side of your consciousness, the other side of your spirituality, the other side of your being that goes beyond your physical body and the physical world that you live in. But you have a standard of a three-dimensional object. A long time ago, it was a church. And then, when you left that, it was a Bible, and it became other people. And it became your groups on the internet where you gathered together and all agreed with each other that you were the good guys and that everybody else was wrong. And you figured that you did God's will. And at the same time, little by little, You murdered the souls of people who sat in those groups, who were condemned by your words and forced to make a choice. To either turn away in tears, or also to become whitewashed sepulchres. In the endless loop of condemning and being condemned. The standard is that the measure by which you judge, you will be judged. If you choose a Bible as your means of judging others, you will be judged by this book. All of it. All of it. If you place yourself under the law, you are judged by the law. If you place yourself under the book, you are judged by the book. I'm talking about something that's greater than religion. I'm talking about something that's greater than externalized faith. I am trying to get to a place where I can begin to teach, because I teach by learning. I teach because I'm striving. I'm not standing in the highest places of the temple. I just happen to have the microphone. And as I learn, I pass it on. That's all this has ever been about. There is no authority figure here. Because as many of you have proven, you have a choice. You can turn it off, and you should sometimes turn it off. And at the same time, others should go silent, as I have now instructed some former colleagues of mine to do. I put out a word last year. That word was not from me. The watchmen will be gone before the war. Oh, there'll still be voices out there. There'll be tons of them out there. Because they'll never go silent. But the day will come when the watchmen are removed. Why? Because the watchmen won't be here. In the physical, three-dimensional realm. Oh, they might still be walking around. It's an interesting dichotomy, isn't it? It's the two worlds thing again. What if we transition into another dimension? We're still walking around. And all of the things that we see in the scripture, all the supernatural stuff, just all kind of happens at once. What if you're here one moment and boom, another, you're gone like Philip? What if God tells you to go to a city and you have to cross a river or a continent? Maybe a continent that's been divided by a great earthquake. God says, don't worry about that. You'll be able to fly. You can be transported. Or I may have you walk on the waters. Why? Gravity doesn't really apply at this point. And time and space don't really apply either. Why? You made the shift. You went through the quickening. You got to the other side of your life. You found out who you were, and you discovered you were not a three-dimensional person. You were a spiritual being, living by spiritual things. Where does that leave the externalized, traumatized, dogmatized, hypnotized, mind-controlled Christians still arguing about their bloody Bible versions? Still sitting around in their little circles proclaiming each other wise because they understand the history of the Bible when they've ignored thousands of years of prior history. When they've ignored the blood that was shed not only by the great men who did let us read the Bible, the Tyndales, the Wycliffes, but the ancient people at the beginning of Christianity, who were wiped out in a genocide and their writings taken away from us because they weren't deemed proper doctrine. Are you any different? Are you any different? You, the Bible quoter, you're not any different. You're externalized. You're a three-dimensional creature with a three-dimensional faith, and when the third dimension fails, so will your faith and so will your being. Because that's really what's happening. What you call the Great Tribulation is not going to play out the way you think it has, because your monkey brain is still trying to figure it out in the book. All the code's there. Code's there. And I think a long time ago, maybe we got a piece of it, but I don't think we saw the whole picture at all. I think God hid a lot of very cool things for us to discover when we became spiritual beings and we began to discern things from a spiritual mind. What God wanted was a family. What God will create is going to be a family. It's not going to be a hierarchy. Families don't bite each other. They don't beat each other around. Not good families. But then again, what we have now is a shoddy representation of the family of God, and what we have now is a traumatized family with alcoholic fathers and sexually abusive mothers and children that smack each other around, and there's no love. There's no agape, because that's unconditional and we have conditions. Our brotherhood, our love for each other is conditional upon the books you read. I can't travel with you anymore, brother. You threw the Bible out. I can't go where you're going. Fine. I never ask you to follow me. I simply put this stuff out here, and if you've come to love me over the years, I'm the same person now as I was a few years ago. It's just that a part of me's broken now. I had to deal with the fruits of my own labors too. I had to repent of the traumatic dogmatism that I came out of too, the brutal legalism that I lived under, that I grew up in. I was fortunate enough to have a balance of love and all that, but I grew up with legalism. I grew up in bondage. I grew up in abuse. I grew up in darkness. I grew up in a world that didn't make sense because I didn't fit into it. And then I went into a religion, and then I didn't fit into that. And then I had a ministry, and I outgrew it because something inside of me said, there's more. Do you want it? Do you want it? If you want it, you're not going to get it here. You've got to move forward. You've got to go deeper. And quite frankly, Christians say that they're preparing for the tribulation. You're not ready. Because you still live in 3D. You still live in the brutalized, traumatized, dogmatized system. Therefore, you are part of that system, and therefore you will reap what that system itself must reap. House divided against itself cannot stand, is what the Christ said. Because it must separate, and the lesser part of it goes out into the wilderness, where they confront their own soul. They confront their own pain and their own trauma, and in doing so, they break through to the other side. All the externalization goes away. Suddenly, they have no place to go except inwardly. And when they go inside, after a while, the pain goes away. And they begin to understand the kingdom of God is within you. And they look up from behind closed eyes. And there's a light, because we're light beings, and there's light within us. How interesting that unbelieving scientists discovered years ago, in studying cancer patients and using sophisticated electronic equipment, that the human body literally contains within it light. How interesting that the New Age seems to discern the idea that you have a light body, that you can move between dimensions. But Christianity says, oh no, that's a cult, that's satanic. Really? The devil wants you to walk in the light? Honestly? Are you kidding me? Do you not see the absurdity of the lies you've been sold as a result of your religions? Do you not see that religion wants you to stay on a path, and they call it a narrow path? The funny thing is, there's a whole hell of a lot of people on that path, aren't there? And if there's not, you don't know what to do. You break down. because you need an audience. You need a group. You need consensus. You need somebody that can pound you back down into the dirt, even as you're crawling along, because it feels good. And all it is spiritual sadomasochism on a mass scale. It doesn't matter whether it's a church of 200 or an internet group of 30 or 40 people. It's all the same deal. You traumatize and you are traumatized. Why? Because that's what you want. That's what you feel. That's the place where your heart is at, because your heart has never been healed of the trauma that you experienced in your life and in your world, and you wouldn't know it because you don't know what healing is. You haven't really reached for the hem of the skirt. You're still looking for the crowds on the hillside that are going to get the bread and the fish. And Jesus climbs in the boat and the disciples are still complaining, "We forgot the loaves of bread." And Jesus says, "The loaf is here. It's among you." Why? They were externalized, 3D. They weren't looking at the spiritual. They had the essence of life itself sitting in the boat, and they're worried about loaves of bread to make it across the Sea of Galilee. The good news is, some of them grew out of it. The bad news is, if you read John chapter 6, a bunch of them left, and that's what's happening. A bunch have gone off and said, "We don't like what you teach anymore. You're a New Ager. You want to talk about a pituitary gland, and you want to do meditative prayer. And that's New Age. And we can't go there. We need to have religious songs, and we need to have a King James Bible. And we need somebody to stand up amongst us and proclaim the Bible is holy." Guess what? You're still in the 3D, you're still in the dots. And because of that, you're not going to make it through the next round. But don't get me wrong here. I'm not telling you you're going to hell. I'm telling you you're going to go through hell. Because in my view, based on what I'm seeing in Scripture, the earth will be hell. What gets burned? And I think you have a choice about this. You can walk on the water or you can walk through the fire. It's pretty much your choice, isn't it? Now, I realize that what I've just said is very difficult for some of you to hear. It's not pleasant for me to say it. And I've spent far too many hours and too much anguish over all that's transpired these last 6 months. I've had to make serious decisions about myself and about where I was going to travel and who I was going to travel with. And now it's down to a few basic people and a few basic truths. And in the margins of that stand those who are listening and going, "I'm not comfortable with this." No, you're not comfortable with this. The reason you're not comfortable with it is because something inside of you tells you it's true, and it means you have to make a change. It means that you have to risk the things that I've risked, which was basically taking what was a modestly successful little ministry on the internet, and at one time on radio, with the potential to be more. Because a lot of you don't realize, I was offered radio shows. I can't go there because I'm not willing to trot the company line. I'm not willing to go to the place where the numbers would be sufficient to sell advertising or even to solicit donors at this point. I went so far at the end of last year to actually get pricing to go on radio. And I actually had the cash set aside to do it. But, you know, once you enter a contract, you got to pay it. That means you have to have support, which means I've got to sit around and worry about whether I've got enough support from month to month to make it, or whether I'm able to deplete my own finances to do this. And in the end, I think God said no. I think what God was showing me is that we're wrapping it up here real quickly. The watchman will be gone before the war. Everything else is going to be washed, either in fire or through the waters. And the people who transcend now, in this period that we've called the shift or the quickening, are the people who are going to be the most useful to the kingdom in the dark days. They're going to be the life preservers. They're going to be the resuscitators. They're going to be the warriors. They're going to be the ER technicians and the surgeons in the field that remove the shrapnel of the great conflagration. And the rebellious will be among them, and they will be the victims. They will be mowed down because they will be judged by the way they have judged in externals. In repentance, you think about it, and you think about your sins, and you think, well, I have to give up drinking, I have to give up my sexuality, I have to give up drugs, I have to give up. What if what God wants you to give up is your mindset? Because if you do that, if you enter into the temple, everything else takes care of itself. The spirit, like the body, is self-healing once it has a chance to course correct. And that's what this is about. The prophetic is about showing you what comes ahead so you have time to deal with it. When the waters burst forth, it's too late to take swimming lessons. When the fire breaks out, it's too late to recharge the extinguishers. Now is the time to make a decision about where you want to go, and the externals are not going to save you. It's not that the Bible's wrong, it's that your understanding of it is wrong. And the reason it's wrong is because it is in itself designed to be transcended. It was designed to be discerned by a higher force, and that higher force is within you. It's why I closed the shows saying the truth is out there. It's inside you. It's inside you. All of you. Even you who now are the externalized, dogmatized, traumatized, and traumatizing religiosos. It's not too late. But from my reckoning, you have a short time here to make a decision. And it would be better that you went silent, that you went still, that you went deep, and that you went dark, than to continue to stand up, force feeding your externalized religious structures to other people, thus creating the standard by which you yourself will be judged. The spiritual things are the things that have not been taught for 2,000 years. Jesus himself prophesied, "This gospel shall be preached into all the world as a witness, and then shall come the judgment." What did he tell you there? He told you the gospel has not been preached. He tells you that the gospel, the true gospel, that is soon to be preached, will be a witness, and it will be a judgment. So we have choices, all of us. Mine is I choose the road not only less traveled, but probably the one that's pretty grown over. It doesn't have a river running beside it. It may occasionally have a spring somewhere, but you're probably going to have to hunt for it. You're going to probably have to douse for it. And along the way, the serpents and the scorpions are in the path, and you're going to wield a sword, and that sword is going to be the sword of the spirit of truth, and the things not seen by men. And you're not going to need your Bible, because I trust by now you've internalized it enough to understand that it was designed to seep inside of you, where a ring of truth appears when you hear it and when you see it. Because the truth is not confined to anything that you can see or hear or touch or taste or comprehend with your monkey brain. The truth are the things of the spirit. They are not evident to the world. They are not evident to the church. They are not evident to what proclaims itself as the remnant. And your old English King James will do you no good if you have not understood these things with your new mind. The Christ consciousness, let this mind be in you, which is the mind of Christ. The mind is consciousness. But the Christian says, oh, we can't go there. Really? Sadly, that's probably true. And sadly, by the standard you judge, that which you mete out, that is the standard by which you'll be judged. But if you raise it up to another standard, to another level, if you can vibrate with the essence of the spiritual dimension and begin to move inside that place of yourself, you're going to begin to comprehend things which are spiritual. You won't have any enemies anymore. You'll have a whole world full of hurting people to heal. And you'll fulfill your divine mandate at the end of the age. Because the things we are about to do are not to be witnessed by the material world, but by the people of God that He's raising up as His spiritual family. There's two sides to all this. There's the great tribulation, and the horribleness of that, and all the darkness. And there are those who are going to walk in the light and be the light. And they are going to be the light in all of the dark places in the family of God. I'm Randy Moggins. This is The Threshing Floor. You need to think about this. There's not a lot of time left. The truth is out there. It's inside of you. Close your eyes. Look up. Begin to seek it out. The day's here.
For the judge in me, He's coming over. Get on your feet. Oh my goodness, is all I got for you. Have I shown you lately what my clan can do? I own your heart now by right, yeah. We got family. We got family, so when I call you up, get your name. We got family. We got family, so when I call you up, get your name. Have I shown you lately what my clan can do?